were here, I had to come.
Thank you, thank you. And this greatly.
Yeah.
We have a garden for you as well. I've just come from the Sadhu Sangha festival. It was from Utaha. You know, Spanish folk and so on. And I remember when I came into the airplane what is it called? Salt Lake City.
Yes.
No, so I entered the airplane and there was a steward who was greeting everyone as you come in the airplane. And he said, like he says to all passengers, how are you doing? You know, this a traditional American greeting. How are you doing? No, he said, how are you? And I said, happy. He said, oh, I like to hear that. People don't really say that they are happy. Why are you happy? I said, I just sang and danced for 3 days. You sang? Oh, thank I am already one. Sing and dance for 3 days? Yes, I said, no stop. Sometimes a little resting, but and he was really intrigued because I don't think normal passengers sing and dance for 3 days, you know. And yes, it was a nice festival. It was the first bigger festival which we celebrated in our movement after the lockdown period. And you could see devotees were very, let me say, thirsty. If you want to experience bhakti or devotion and devotional service to Krishna, you must be thirsty. There may be, I have two already. See, inside here, there is something.
Krishna.
We can hear. But if I'm not thirsty, I will not have an interest to open the bottle and to pour it in a glass. The same is in Krishna consciousness. There is a lot of joy. There is a lot of kripa or mercy. But if I'm not thirsty, I may be, let us say, surrounded with Krishna consciousness. I may study Krishna consciousness and read the books, chant. But if I'm not thirsty, I will not really open the secret of the Raja Guhyam, the king of all secrets, because it's a little bit, let me say, it requires a little effort. When I heard from Ram Govinda that I will be your guest today, he asked also, what is the subject which you would like to present? And I decided to present today something to you which will help you, so to say, open this the Krishna, the secret of Krishna consciousness by learning to chant fully attentive or learning to chant with absorption. But I need to know that you are thirsty, because otherwise you will not open the bottle. What I suggest is that we chant a little bit. I would really need a pair of characters. let me see, and they pass the test. Yes, it will do.
Thank you. Oh! Come on, come on.
Hare.
Hare.
Namaste, Sarasvati.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
When I first met His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj in Germany, I had met him in India before. He spoke about the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He spoke for an entire week, each morning and evening. And the story he told from the Shastras was at once intriguing and also highly motivating. He told the story which comes there in the second part of Gokumar returning back home, back to Godhead, and then helping another soul, Nirmala Sharma is his name, and to also return back to Godhead. And it is very interesting. What method or advice Gokumar had to give to this Brahmana who was highly accomplished. In the text it is said that when Gokumar met this Janashama, he could see at once that he was highly qualified. But there was one single thing still missing before he could reach the perfection of his spiritual life. And what was missing is expressed in the text as ekantika, a single-minded focus on the chanting of the holy name. Gokumar was taking the role of the teacher and explained to this soul who wanted to go back to God but missed this one point. He told him that he should fix his mind exclusively on the chanting of the holy name. We only have maybe 45 minutes together in hearing. And what can we discuss in 45 minutes that is so of such a great importance that this visit is a well-spent time for all of us? What is of great importance, my dear devotees, is that we learn to focus now our mind single-handedly on the Lord who has come in this Kali Yuga in the form of His holy name. And you chant Krishna's right before you. But of course, if you look somewhere else, or if you don't pay attention to Him, then you're missing the deciding clue or hint to become fully Krishna conscious. Absorption, or this single-minded focus, is a state of the mind where the mind is not wavering any longer but stays on one subject. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam we find an amazing example. We hear of the arrow maker. The arrow maker was sitting by the side of the road and he was sharpening the head of the arrow. And as he was doing it, the king and his royal retinue passed on the road. There were palanquin bearers, There was music, there were brahmanas who recited the Vedic hymns. I don't know if there were people dancing also, but it was quite something. I mean, wherever the king went, people left everything they did and ran to the place where this commotion was, but not so the arrow maker. The arrow maker was very much focused on his task of making a very good arrow, and he was sitting there continuing with his work without even looking up one time to see the king and the royal retinue. This isn't the example which the 11th canto gives for single-minded focus of the mind. And absorption is this. When you chant, my dear devotees, and you are with Krishna, you are actually in that moment on the level of Krishna consciousness. But the moment your mind goes away from the chanting of the holy name, you are again in the material world. Have you noticed this? When you are in the kirtan and you are actually able to single-mindedly focus on the holy name, it seems that the kirtan takes you along. Draupadi gives the example like a boat that carries someone who goes into the boat. The mantra takes us along. It takes us to a very, very good place in Krishna consciousness. But then we may think, oh, my neighbor sings too loud. Oh, and we may think, oh, what is with my car? Do I have enough benzene to drive home? Or we may think of the new Netflix series, which we have not completed yet. The moment we leave the chanting of the holy name, we immediately fall back into the material world. As long as you enter or stay with your consciousness, then you are in the spiritual, on the spiritual level, but if you exit, you're back on the material level. What does it mean to stay with the holy name? It means to chant with absorption. Someone of you said, yes, correctly. This is the whole idea of chanting mantras or chanting prayers. You must be 100% there, because where your mind is, there is where you are. Where your mind is, that is where you are. I would like to chant for you a prayer from the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam. It's actually a verse on absorption. Shivaraya Nirubhacha Evam Vyavasito Bhujya Samadaya Manovridhi Jajapa Paramam Japyam Rajaman Yanushikshitam. It describes how the king of the elephants prayed. What did he do? In English? Thereafter, the king of the elephants, his name?
Gajendra,
you know everything. Fixed his mind in his heart with perfect intelligence and chanted a mantra which he had learned in his previous birth as Indrajumna, and which he remembered by the grace of Lord Krishna. Please mark this. He fixed his mind where? In his heart. Yavasito Buddhya, with fixed intelligence, is this another expression for single-mindedness. No? He was really there. And there is a particularly intriguing part of the purport which Prabhupada gives to this verse. He says, it is imperative, therefore. Imperative means obligatory or compulsive. I don't know if you were calling. Oops, there was another English word I forgot. Compulsory. It is imperative, therefore, that all devotees in Krishna conscious practice chanting some mantra. Certainly one should chant the Hare Krishna mantra, which is the Maha mantra or great mantra, and also one should practice chanting Chintamani Prakarasatma Srikalpa Vriksha. Or one should practice the chanting of the Nrisimha Stotra. Ito Nrisimha Parato Nrisimho Yato Yato Yami Tato Nrisimha. Every devotee should practice in order to chant some mantra perfectly, so that even though he may be imperfect in spiritual consciousness in this life, in his next life he will not forget Krishna consciousness, even if he becomes an animal. Ooh. Of course a devotee should try to perfect his Krishna consciousness in this life, for simply by understanding Krishna and his instructions, even after giving up this body, one can return home back to Godhead. So, I would like to draw your attention here to this statement. Every devotee should practice in order to chant some mantra perfectly. We should not be satisfied. We should not think, well, now I'm on this level of Krishna consciousness, and if I continue to practice chanting like I do now, I will somehow get to a higher level. This is a definition of craziness, to think by continuing doing the same things, I will reach a different result. No, we should instead think, how can I improve my practice? How can I bring it to perfection? How can I chant with full absorption, like the arrow maker, who was not disturbed by whatever went on around him, not even by this huge commotion which was created by the king who was coming with all his people. Why is it so important to chant this absorption? The reason is that, my dear devotees, you are where your mind is. There is an old story of two brothers. They were going to a town, and they needed to pass through some unknown territory. They wanted to reach the town by the evening. Then all of a sudden, it started to rain. In American English, you will say, it rained dogs and cats. We had such a rain in Utah during the Sadhu Sangha. We were chanting, and all of a sudden it was like I don't know if there's an English word for this, but all of a sudden the weather changes. It first started to rain, but then the rain turned into hail, which was as like this. It looked as if Indra was repeating his offense. And, but this time he was shooting at the devotees with these pale bullets. Yes, so this happened to the two brothers also. They were totally surprised by the sudden change of weather, and they started to run to take some shelter. So one brother went into the right direction, right, and he eventually reached the temple and could find shelter there. Another brother ran in the left direction, and he ended up in the house, in a house of prostitution. So both were there, one in the temple, the other in this house with a questionable profession. So the brother who stayed in the temple was thinking, oh no, this rain, it was like dogs and cats, it rains, this is very dissatisfactory. And he was really morose and thought only, oh, poor me, poor me, poor me. But the other brother, who in his hurry, he did not see where he was running and taking shelter. He thought, oh my God, I'm in the wrong place. This is not my taste. In this house of, you know, not to say. So, oh Krishna, please be so kind. Krishna, you are the Lord and the control of everything. Please take my soul to you. Please take me to you. So this one man was then staying in the temple, and he was cursing his fortune, and I forgot to say, he was actually so frustrated that he said, the only thing which would now help me is to have some, you know, how to express this, you know, some activity with the prostitute. And the other was in the house of the prostitution, and he thought of the temple. My dear devotees, who do you think was in a better situation? The man who stayed in the temple and thought of prostitutes, or the man who stayed in the house and who thought of the temple? I think it's a second one, it's a rhetoric question. The answer is embedded already in the question. Yes, because you are where your mind is. When you chant, my dear devotees, and your mind is really with the sound vibration of the holy name, you experience this tremendous benefit of the mantra, who is also sometimes described as an upaya, which means a means which can carry you from the material to the spiritual level. But if while chanting you're doing one of two things, either you are spaced out, just not thinking anything in particular, or more, you think of your shopping list, or your management list, or your problem list, or whatever list you think. And then you don't experience the benefit of the holy names. You are actually only chanting the letters, the nama akshara is the word, and not the name itself. There's a very nice account. Once Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, when he was still young, went to Kulinagram. It's a place where Haridas Thakur chanted, and where there are many places of acharyas. And they arrived in the evening time, and as they were passing through the outskirts of the village, a man came from a broken temple and said, please stay the night with me. Here in the outskirts we have this nice ancient temple, and in the morning after you have completed your morning duties, you can proceed into the town and see whatever you wish to see. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati went into the temple, and when the night came, something happened in the temple. There was howling. Should I do it again to wake up the last sleeping soul of you? Please listen, listen. It's almost over the lecture, but you need to listen. And when they woke up, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, bricks came through the air to hit them. There was a constant throwing of bricks, and for a moment they saw, like a milky face, this Brahmana who had invited them to stay for the night. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur immediately set up and started to chant, and after some time the ghostly phenomena went away. The next morning they took a shower and went into the town, and the people asked them, "Oh, you are here already? You are here so early in the morning. Where did you stay? We did not notice. We stayed in the temple outside the town." "Really? But that is a ghostly haunted temple." "Yes," said Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "but I chanted in the night and then the ghosts disappeared." "Oh," said the people, "you must be very excited. What is your name?" When they found out, they were overjoyed with happiness. The great Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his son had visited their village. And they said, "But listen, I have a question." They said, "We have a question. How did it happen that this man who was in the temple became a ghost? We saw him always chanting Hare Krishna." Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "What was his character?" And the people explained to him, "He was not a good man. He was always chanting, but he was sometimes taking from the pundi box, the donation box, for his own purposes. And he was also not very moral. Some scandals have been reported." "Yes," said Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "you can chant the holy name, but if you chant with offenses, then you don't really associate with Krishna, but it's only the external letters of the holy name, not Krishna, who's inside." "Oh," said people, "how can such a person be liberated?" And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave the answer, "He must have the association of someone who chants the holy name purely. Then he will get it and will be delivered." So after that phenomena, people checked in the temple and the ghost had gone. And they understood that the great Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such a soul who could deliver others just by his chanting. This was reported in the newspaper. It is a known evidence that yes, we can chant, but if we don't learn to chant the mantra with absorption, but we remain inattentive while we chant, then it is not possible for us to associate with Krishna. It's almost as if Krishna is before us, but we turn away from him. We go like we have always gone. We have become Bahiranga Mukha. We become outwardly facing. Can you understand how important it is for devotees to learn to chant with absorption? You can understand. Can you understand also why it is not good if we continue to chant inattentively? That's one of the offenses, or still absorbed in I and mine. Can you understand why? Because you are where? Where your mind is. You can be in the temple and think of Orlando Disney Paradise or whatever it's called. Then you are not so much there. My dear devotees, I will now make an experiment with you. I will try to teach you in a little bit more than 10 minutes what you could do to be fully present-minded. Would you like to take part in this experiment? Why? Because you are where your mind is, no? So if you learn to absorb your mind, you are with the holy name. Ram Govinda is smiling because he knows, okay, he wants to drive a point home. He is right, our Ram Govinda, yes. All right, if you want to absorb yourself, it is very good if you bring three things together in the chanting: body, mind, and heart. The body is our mechanical system. It has a tongue, it has ears, it is like a perfect machine. But it is only a machine like this. It's not living. We can switch it on and we can switch it off. Then you must go one step further to the mind. You must focus the mind on the sound vibration. When someone sees that he is inattentive, it's very good. Let me repeat to you. When someone notices that he is chanting inattentively, it's very good. What? Why could it be very good if you notice that your mind wanders off? It can be very good because now you can catch it. Most of the time, we are so identified with the mind that we just ride along with the mind and we don't notice that the mind is something separate from us and does not do our willing. So whenever you catch your mind wandering, you have now a possibility to bring it back. Yata yata nishalati, says Krishna. When from wherever the mind wanders due to its restless nature, one must bring it back under the control of the self. And then the heart, you should engage in a prayerful exercise. So we will do this now. I request you to take an attentive listening position. It's like bringing your spine, aligning your spine, bringing it up. Prabhupada used to say, sit properly. It's like that. Some of you are too much on the computer. I can see your shoulders are moved forward. Just bring it like this to the ears. Roll them back. Oh, and then you expand the breathing and you're now in an attentive position. We will now use our tongue and our ears moment. This absolutely present or attentive listening. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Thank you.
Now we will feel something. We will light our body. We have brought our mind to the chanting. We will continue with these two. Good posture now, please. Some of your postures. You've sunk in like a melted iceberg. And you need to stay in this position. And then you please chant while focusing on each name, but you add now something, a prayerful mood. Prabhupada once said, chanting Hare Krishna means to pray, please accept me.
Instruments, please, it is not the time now
trying to chant. Can someone take the sheets from the child, please? We're trying to chant now with absorption, so I repeat. Start chanting all together.
Thank you.
Summary, what did we learn today? Because it was
chant with absorption. Wow.
Learning to chant with absorption. So what have we learned?
You are where your mind are.
So once again, we have a microphone down here.
So it's
evolved. Yeah. The moment we are still collecting. So you can just say, what have we learned?
Please accept me. You gotta chant prayerfully.
Yeah.
We are where our mind is.
Yes. So therefore, it is important to not just chant and think of Disneyland, but to, when you are in Disneyland, chant Hare Krishna. No? I'm not saying go to Disneyland. I'm just making a point. I think you understand. So, to align our minds, there are three steps. And where do we start?
Body.
It means attentive listening, position, sit properly, no? Then the tongue is engaged to vibrate the holy name. Then, what is the next step?
Your mind.
What do we do with the mind?
You engage it.
Whenever we catch it wandering, we bring it back. Yeah, this is Krishna is explaining in the Gita, wherever the mind goes. Bring it back to the sound vibration. Then, the third step?
Your heart.
You will be very happy to hear that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains in his purport in Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhya Lila 23 that the perfection of chanting a mantra is achieved when you keep the vibration in the heart. What it means is the heart is the place for emotions like devotion, sincerity. These are all the emotions which you find in the heart. And so you bring with your surrender and so on. So you bring really you involve the heart as a seat of devotion and emotions. You should know that Krishna is in the heart. Have you heard this before?
Yes.
Yeah, he's right there. So you go there and express something to him. And the A level of chanting with absorption. Next time I come, we will go one step higher. And then the next time I come, we will go still a step higher. It is unlimitedly. No? But we have heard today in the Bhagavatam how Prabhupada has requested us to perfect our chanting. No? He said, it was here. Every devotee should practice. Practice means like you go to university, you practice really, in order to chant the mantra perfectly. So that even though he may be imperfect in spiritual consciousness, in this life, in this next life, he will not forget Krishna consciousness. No? This is something. If you want to find this very interesting verse and purport, you may make a note. It's in the 8th canto, chapter 3, text 1. The purport is the text and the purport. In the text, you will find Jajapa Paramang Japyam. You know, what is the perfect japa? What to do? What to keep in consciousness? Please make a study of this verse. It's your homework. And you know what will happen at that time? When Krishna sees a devotee making an effort. This is described in Rupa Goswami's Padyavali. He says, my Lord, when you heard your devotee Gajendra calling out for you, You rushed out of your palace. You didn't have time to put on your jeweled sandals. You were in such a hurry. And when you came to Garuda, you did not take the help of the commander to climb on his back, although Vishvakshena had put his helping hand out like this. You were in such a hurry. You just jumped on the back of Garuda and you immediately rushed to the help of Gajendra. My lord, where is your hurry now? I am attacked not by one crocodile like Gajendra, but by more crocodiles like enviousness, lust, greed, anger. Where is your hurry now, my lord? Please be also full of hurry to come. And Krishna does so because when there is this law of, you know better English than me,
reciprocity.
Yeah, but there's a word.
Reciprocity.
Yeah, judge. Please say it again, the difficult word.
Reciprocity.
This law is there. That means when the Lord sees you're doing, making some effort, he will reciprocate. And by the law of
reciprocity,
he will come. He will make hurry or make haste. I think you could all feel as we were chanting and trying to absorb ourselves a little bit more than normal, some different atmosphere was here. Have you felt?
Yes.
You're just saying out of duty or
sincerely
you're saying?
Sincerely
you're saying, yes. Yes. So that everyone can feel. Everyone knows. So please, I thank you very much for being such a wonderful audience. Please forgive me when this is like a seminar, so I'm not just giving a roof Bhagavatam class, but I want you to learn something. So if I'm a little heavy, I'm very relaxed and happy inside, but I just to as Ram Govinda noted, to drive home a point, no? I'm a little bit strong, but it is, I'm paying my obeisances from 50 directions to you. It is so good, your participation. Good. Now we will see if there is one or two questions. I will not be able to take many questions because we are still traveling. Do you have questions to this subject? Yes. Microphone is coming.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. My question is, in the process of chanting Hare Krishna, we will find points of highs and lows. Like we'll have this taste, this
reciprocity.
And at other times, it's as if we've been completely bewildered, completely forgot the experience. And so my question is within all of this turbulence, how can we remain steady? Grounding our remembrance of what was before, what actually is.
Thank you very much. Have you all understood this very relevant question? Because I think we all feel what you have expressed so nicely. Sometimes the spiritual path is described to be like a journey, and there are different phases in the journey. It's almost when you sail the ocean, there will sometimes be a situation when the waves and the breeze is very intense, and at that time you need to know how to put your sailing gear. You need to respond by putting your sailing gear there. So sometimes we may sit down, we may try the technique of sitting properly, bringing our attention to the sound of the holy name, and we may even say a prayer, but nothing happens. So you need to know how to sail through the stormy sea at this moment. There's a very interesting, this problem which you have discussed is also discussed by Haridas Thakur, by the way. Haridas Thakur is the expert, the Namacharya, and he has said about using different techniques. He says, it is impossible, I make a little music here for you, it is impossible for the jiva to single-handedly avoid and overcome the illusion of distraction. What you have described, this distractedness, you cannot alone handle this. By the mercy of the Lord, however, this is accomplished with ease. Therefore, it is essential. Listen, essential means you cannot do without it. It must be there. You must do this. Therefore, it is essential to prayerfully beg for the Lord's grace with great humility, for this is the only means to salvation from this problem of distractedness. So, yes, when you see that you are trying to chant and it seems you're not coming on any green branch, this is the way the Germans would say, wenn du nicht auf einen grünen Zweig kommst. So if you can't make way, you have to surrender and say, my dear Lord, I'm trying, yet I am failing. I cannot control this mind which is like a restless wind. Please, you are Hrishikesha. You are the controller of the senses, which include the mind. Please help me. And really, when you start to come to this place of humble acknowledgement of your own weakness, then something happens from that place. It is said only those who can face the lowliness of their own existence can make progress in bhakti. Focus please on this phrasing. Only those who can face the lowliness of their own existence can make advancement in bhakti. It takes courage to understand, I'm really not so advanced, that I'm really not, I'm a little, I have a distraction problem. And if I'm distracted from Maya, that's all right. If I'm distracted with Krishna, then what will happen to me in this life? So if you can face that and come to this place of, becomes a difficult English word, contrition. Do you know what this means?
Yeah.
The Christians use it a lot, to be contrite. I translate it for you in German, then you really know what contrition is. Listen, you can just listen to the sound of it. Ein Gefühl der tiefen Zerknirschung. This is contrition. Zerknirscht. It's like feeling yourself to be wretched, you know? And from that position, you quickly come to the highest position. It's interesting. To go up, you must first go down. This is Vaishnavism. Only those who are humble, humbler than the straw in the street, they can always chant Kirtaniya Sadhari. So just acknowledge at those moments when you try and you don't, you are dry like Arizona desert. you are distracted like Madonna. You are lusty like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Becker or whatever is his name. He used to be very, anyways, it doesn't matter. You are all this and still you're trying, so you can say, my dear Lord, please help me. If you want, you can make a photograph with your mobile telephone of this particular line from Harinam Chintamani, and you can take it out when you are in dire need and practice in character. Good. So I suggest then, I know we could engage in more time, but I have been requested by my hosts in Alachua to not leave too late. Vaidyanathan, do you give me your permission to leave? Problematic. When our Vaidyanathan doesn't give his permission, what can we do?
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
So usually, you know, we say that some sannyasi, some maharaj, like Isamisa Maharaj, will come back again if we have more devotees chanting more rounds or 16 rounds or close to that. But what Maharaj has given us a wonderful, sweet challenge that let's chant more with absorption. That will pull Maharaj back to our community. So this, let's all take this to our heart. Let's grow together with this. Not just not chanting our rounds, but chanting with absorption. Most of us are chanting 16 rounds, but let's try to do this. Maybe we can have a meeting or something like that together, and that definitely will pull Maharaj back here. Thank you.